Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Global Expression Podcast, where we have international students and faculty share their unique journey to the U.S. My name is Jia Yuyan. You can also call me Angel. I'm a sophomore majoring in theater and economics, and I'm purchasing a music technology minor. This is my third time being in Global Expressions Podcast, and I'm really excited to greet our team today.
My name is Vicky, and I'm a senior. I'm double majoring in psychology and women's gender study, and this is going to be my first time to join our podcasting. I'm really excited.
Yay. Welcome, Vicky. I'm Alicia. I'm the Fulbright FLTA for Chinese program this semester, and I'm from Taiwan. This is my second time to join this podcasting, and today we have a very special guest. We are so excited to have our guest, admissions counselor Doris Huang. Welcome, Doris.
Welcome.
Hi, Doris.
Thank you, guys. Hello. My name is Doris. I'm not a student, even though I look like a student. I am admissions counselor here at Lafayette College. So usually we briefly introduce our territories. So I read applications domestically from Texas, so like Houston, Austin, Dallas, and also have the privilege to read applications and meet students from China, Nigeria, and Ethiopia. So really loving the mix international perspective right there. Thank you for having me today.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's Tuesday. The week just started. I had an amazing weekend. I don't know about you guys. What did you do? But I played pickleball for the first time, and I loved it so much. And I already told my boyfriend that let's do it again. And yeah, we bought a pair of pickleball paddles on Amazon, and it already arrived. So I'm just looking forward to the next weekend if we can play again. Yeah. What about you guys?
I injured my foot, but I went to the hospital this weekend.
Okay.
And I have a show 2 weeks later, so yeah.
Amazing.
Hopefully it will get better at that time. But yeah.
Cool.
I went picnic.
Picnic somewhere nearby.
It's like 40 minutes driving.
40 minutes, you have a car.
By a lake. My professor took me there with her family.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Really interesting.
That's super cute. I went somewhere like around Penn State because like we kind of met my partner's grandparents there, like so we kind of need to like meet like half of the way for both of us, but it was like pretty nice. Like it's kind of random places, but it's kind of nice to see how other campus looks like because I don't have experience just like studying in like a big university. So
yeah, Penn State's huge.
I know it's huge. They have so many dorm buildings. I was just like, Lafayette needs more. Like
we need to release that. So, I think we can start.
Yes, I'm okay. Feeling
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Doris, will you mind tell us about your day, like your work day? What do you do for your work?
Yes, so being admissions counselor means a lot of stuff. First of all, is read applications from the students you're in charge of. So, Every review season, evaluation season, after students have submitted applications on Common App, then we are the people who are behind the scene that's literally reading every line from the application. And then, making careful decisions. And sometimes it's hard decisions to be made, right? Because Lafayette College, being a selective liberal arts college, we can't possibly admit everyone, so we are very discerning in how we give out those admitted packages. And then a lot of other, we wear so many hats as admissions counselor, so we often travel. I traveled to, just for my past travel season, my first travel season, I went to Texas, so Houston, Austin, Dallas. Basically, I visited all the schools and also attended many college fairs. And that's how students usually get to know us as a school, because in Texas, not a lot of people have heard of Lafayette College. And that's why we need to do a bit of like outreach work there, because we're an amazing school and people should know about us. And then also I went back to China. I was born in China, so it's really great to also see my family during my work trip. It's amazing to build relationship with all the counselors around the world. I would say like reading applications and traveling are the two big components of admissions counselor role, but other tasks come into handy where for example, the month of April, we're just doing so many admitted student events, right? We celebrate those students that have gotten admissions to Lafayette. So we're also like doing a bit of like event planning if needed. Mm-hmm. I'm also in charge of our tour guides, which mm-hmm. I'm a tour guide advisor for engineering tour and arts tour and virtual tour. So that has been amazing, just giving that mentorship to our students, even as a staff member. So yeah, a lot of components and a lot of parts within my role, but it's very exciting.
I've seen many students like touring around these days. Season, my econ professor was saying like, hey, there's a lot of tourists. We need to close our doors to have our last day. Yeah, you also mentioned you went back to China during mm-hmm. all the touring section. So I was wondering, do we have like, do you have all the international tours around the world, or is just like Asian specific? Because as my experience, I didn't attend like a offline in person lecture about Lafayette College. I just know it from website. So,
yeah, I would say from my knowledge, because I recently joined Lafayette last August, so that's not a lot of time. I only did my one first travel back in China, but I knew that the person before me, whose name is Eugene, he's a great person. So he's the person who was in charge of China, so he was doing a lot of traveling, but you know, considering COVID being that, you know, rough 3 years, it sort of took a pause of everything. So we're definitely picking it back up and really hoping to be at more schools. And that's really sort of my goal, is to also let students in China know about this amazing schools, because I feel like a lot of people have this very biased understanding of what liberal arts college really is. Mm-hmm. For example, like me, when I did my college studies, I've never heard of what liberal arts college even is. And now I fully get to see the benefits of attending one. So now I've completely turned to a big fan of LAC. And we are definitely planning to do more campus visits, or also more fairs in every part of China. I only did Beijing and Shanghai this past travel season. So I'm definitely hoping to, we did get a lot of application also from like Guangzhou and Yunnan also. So I'm hoping to, you know, if we can expand over there.
I'm from Shanghai and Vicky's from Guangzhou.
Wow. Yeah, I'm from Shenzhen. Please come to our area. We have some really good food.
I would love your suggestions of like what schools and what area to visit. Yeah. So yeah, we will.
Yeah, that sounds like a really important job. So can you tell us about your educational journey and how you eventually came to Lafayette?
Yes, I love to talk about that. Hopefully it's not too long. But long story short, I also started off an international student like you guys. So I studied abroad when I was 14. My first stop was actually Australia. Mm-hmm. And I went to an all-girls boarding school in Sydney. Don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful place. I was near Bondi Beach, and I made lots of friends, crossed my language barrier, but I felt like something was missing from that experience. I was hoping to get a more rigorous academics, but, you know, for my Australian people watching here, don't get offended, but it was just something, like, it was too cozy for me. I feel like it was, like, for retirement, and I was only 14, so I wanted to get a more challenging academic life. So, and also I feel like I've always had that American college dream within me. So one day, just after dinner, walking with my mom, and I said, Mom, I want to go to US. That was a bit of a shocker, but I eventually made the switch. So ninth grade in high school, I transferred to Texas, coincidentally Texas. And I spent about a year there, and made lots of friends, also made the transition from like Australian curriculum to American curriculum. But after a year, I was still not satisfied, right? And then through a friend from Shanghai, I was born in Shanghai, a family from Shanghai, actually are my neighbor. She was going to that school in Southern California, and I visited her during Thanksgiving break. I took a tour, and I interviewed with their admissions counselor, I guess, for high school. And I loved it. I got admitted, and then I transferred again in 10th grade high school from Texas to Southern California. And that's where I've spent the most of my time and really call California my second home. So later on, when it comes to like college search and things like that, I early decisioned for Boston University they deferred me. I was like, fine. But then luckily, you know, I applied to lots of UC schools, but, you know, one thing I feel like I should have done was to also apply to liberal arts school, but I didn't know that. So I ended up staying in California for the next 4 years for my undergraduate. So I went to UC San Diego. Shout out to San Diego and my friends. I danced a lot. It was amazing 4 years. But I always knew that I wanted to get a master's degree. So that's sort of how it moved me to the East Coast. So I then, after graduation from my bachelor's, I got my master's degree in UPenn. I graduated last year. It felt so, like, soon. And, yeah, here I am. After master's degree, I knew that I wanted to be an admissions counselor. So I was just finding jobs everywhere. And then I really bonded with Lafayette College. I actually knew about Lafayette before I applied. It was also through a mutual friend of mine from Shanghai. Yeah, so I guess destiny got me here, and I didn't want to leave East Coast yet. So this is just, I feel like this is where I'm meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really interesting. But what was your major again?
I didn't share that. I majored in business psychology, and then I minored in education studies.
Yeah, but how would you end, like, at administration counselor in Lafayette? Like, why are you interested in this area, and how did it happen?
It was all because of a student job that I got at UC San Diego. I worked as an admissions assistant, so like a student worker, an office worker for the admissions office at UCSD. I just loved every component of the work, interacting with students, prospective students and families, helping them to figure out, you know, walk their path, because I, you know, had been through what it's like, especially with my international student lens. I was able to also help out a lot more people with my background, and I really found joy in that, meeting new people and doing different things. And even though sometimes answering phone calls is not the best experience, I would say, but that definitely helped me get a sense of fulfillment through that.
Mm. Have you have any, like, other experience than being the counselor? Like, mm-hmm. because you start with business and psychology, right? And do you, like, plan to do these kind of fails first, and then it just accidentally come to like this?
I would say everything felt like it was super planned out for some reason. I actually, when I entered college or university, I was undecided. I had no idea what I want to do. I feel like in high school, I really wanted to be a dentist, but I did poorly in biology, and I was like, I guess that dream has faded. So I was, you know, undecided, didn't really know what I wanted, and business psychology seemed like a useful degree. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I didn't quite like the, the clinical part of the psychology. But
me too.
Yeah, it's a little, I wouldn't say it's boring, but I just didn't feel like it served me well in my, you know, academic curiosity. But then the education studies I took as a minor, there was one course that through a professor, I just really loved her course. It was about childhood development and everything. And fun fact, my mom is a special education teacher. So I sort of grew up around that education, like, family. So I really loved what she had been contributing to the educational field. So I feel like I was just following her path. And that course got me interested in, like, also education in a broad sense. And also being an assistant for the admissions office, I got to know that there's a whole field called higher education that you can delve into and get a profession in. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that sounds like what I'm interested in. It was like the end of sophomore year that I finally found the next step. Mm-hmm. So I was just sort of aiming to go towards that pathway of being a staff at a college or just doing student affairs related work. Mm-hmm. I guess that was how it sparked my interest to be in this field.
I feel like it's better to discover this during your undergraduate than later. Mm-hmm. And it's also great to, like, that you can try out all the things and all aspects in your undergraduate journey. Yes. So I came in with, like, theater, but I also, like, because my family has, like, a finance background. Mm-hmm. So, like, I also took an econ class, and I find some interest in between theater and economics. So mm-hmm. now I'm aiming for theater management. So I think it's a really interesting field for me. Yes. Yeah.
Power of and. We love to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This sounds very amazing because I'm also graduating this year. So I just think about like, I don't feel like going to graduate school is like my first choice. So I feel like getting in like more working experience in your undergrads is like really important too. Mm-hmm. Like trying to help me figure out like what I want. I feel like that's the biggest part, like why I pick liberal arts college, because everyone kind of came here just like undecided. Like you kind of have like the first 2 year to explore like your real interest in the major. So I really appreciate like Lafayette gave me this kind of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And also based on what you're talking about, you used to study in Australia. That's really great. And would you want to tell us more about like your cultural shock experience, especially just like your transfer from Australia to the US?
Yes. It felt like a long time ago. So it was like 10 years already. But I definitely remember that in Australia, I was dealing with a lot of like just language barriers, because it was so different from what you've been taught on textbook when you were little versus mm-hmm. how people actually speak. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a vocab book that I kept whenever my friend said anything. It was like a slang or a movie that they've watched. I would have no idea what that was, mm-hmm. and I would jot it down and later like just Google about it. It was a little frustrating in the beginning because I feel like I just couldn't really fit in. And the same thing goes as from, you know, Australia to the U.S., even though my English got better, but it was still that sort of what people have grown up with, I didn't experience that. Mm-hmm. So while making friends, it was a little difficult to always be that person, you know, smiling, but never really understood what they were talking about. Yeah. I feel like that kind of stuff also still lingers. And I, you know, as an international person living in the U.S., I still occasionally feel that, but it is just something that we will have to be comfortable with and carry with us, that, you know, thinking about the difference being a strength rather than a barrier, mm-hmm. Definitely had helped me through those yeah. occasions.
I usually feel like this sometimes because I have a lot of like domestic friends, mm-hmm. and then sometimes I just like, I kind of wanted to fit in them, and then they're really friendly to me, and then, but what I feel like is, like, there is something that I don't know in their, like, culture background that I cannot, like, actually understand deep inside, although mm-hmm. we tried really hard to get kind of fit in. So yeah. that's sometimes really frustrating about, like, among international students. And many students will just choose to, like, step back behind and then not to communicate with domestic students.
Mm-hmm.
Then what would you do if you are facing like this kind of situation?
Something that came to my mind was, you know, how can we make this better? Mm-hmm. To me, I feel like not afraid to ask question nicely mm-hmm. is, you know, the first step. When I didn't know something, I just asked my friend, and most people will be very nice and tell you what it is and things like that. So I guess like a general tip for people out there that are wanting to make more like meaningful conversation and be more mindful of the diverse space is to just ask nicely, like, hey, like, could you tell me what you mean by that? And I feel like, you know, sometimes I get a little scared when I'm, you know, encountering a culture that I'm not too familiar with. Like, for example, like, I, you know, need to talk to a lot of my students in Africa, and sometimes, like, I didn't really know their cultural, their, you know, things that they grew up with. But I guess it never hurts to just ask question first yeah. and just mm-hmm. ask with a mindset that you're just curious about their culture and that you want to know it. Because, you know, I feel like the international aspect of things can often open your mind so much. Yeah. So, I hope people ask more questions.
I like that. I feel like growing up in China, just like going to school there is never really like a like the teacher there never really encouraged the student to ask more questions. So I feel like that's one of like the most difficult thing for me to adjust myself after I came here to study. I was just like, everyone was just like so active and super supporting my classes, but I was always just like, I'm so confused about this point. I'm so struggling, like should I like raise my hand or something. I feel like it kind of took me some time to realize that asking questions is important, and also just like speaking up in my class is also kind of like brings out my culture to the class. So I feel like that's the point, like why we came here as an international student. So I really like that.
Yeah.
I always hesitate, like, should I share my culture more or not? Mm-hmm. Because as my friend saying, like, I usually talked about China and everything. I'm not avoiding, like, my own culture and everything. Mm-hmm. But, like, I sometimes I would think, did I talk too much about this? Like, should I talk this much about, like, what's back in, like, what's it like back home and what's it like there? But I find out my friends are really interested in, like, different cultures and different countries. So if the person you're talking to, like, are really, I can say mean, but, like, not friendly about your culture and everything, that's their problem. It's not yours.
Yeah.
And also, I've joined international orientation from last year, and I'm also doing this year, and I'm one of the pair captains this year. So I'm a little bit nervous about, like, how to actually help international students to get used here. Like, sometimes, yes, I've been through this journey myself, but I know there are times that are tough, but I don't know how to tell them that, yes, there are difficulties here, but you will win through this. So if it were you, how would you, like, tell them or, like, help them if they have difficulties and, like, culture shock when they miss home and they have difficulties in academic?
Yeah, I would say definitely keep emphasizing to the group that here is a community, right? Like, at Lafayette, I think we one thing that we want people to feel is that when they come here, they feel the personal side of us. Mm-hmm. So what I do always is I bring a lot of my like genuinity and just authenticity to the people who I talk to. So hopefully that's what they feel. So if an international student or a group of international students arrive, I would definitely, you know, do everything to let them make sure that there is always a space that they can just grab somebody and talk about anything. Yes, homesick is something that's unavoidable. Like, I feel like this is just something that we sacrifice in order to be at a place with more opportunities, right? So we would validate those feelings for you, but also acknowledge that something, this is hard and you have to go through it, but we are here to support you. So I would not hesitate to send that message out to our international communities, especially the students that are incoming, to let them know that, hey, like, we are creating more spaces, you know, like this. They're welcome to share more conversations, and also just note that they always have a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this year's international orientation because seeing all the, like, new international students coming in and they have the same experience as ours. And we also do a lot in international orientations. Like, we did it before general orientation. So we went to the airport to pick them up and bring them back here. And then we'll do activities that make them less homesick. And then we'll also have, like, lectures to talk to them about how's the life in U.S. and, you should be proud of your culture yourself. So I think that's a really good part of international orientation that brought us. And that's also the reason why I want to join the IO team again to welcome new students. And so if new students are listening to this, like, welcome to Lafayette. We are really warm.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we are a really warm community because it's, like, application month. It's April, like, when we are recording this. So, congratulations coming here.
Oh, so also I was really curious about, like, from your own experience working as an admission counselor, what is something that makes an international student stand out from their application?
I always think that whatever that's the most true about yourself, I feel like I usually can tell whether an essay is just or, like, ChatGPT generated or it's really coming from the bottom of your heart. 'Cause some of the students, like the stories they are bringing, it's so deep, and it touches the softest part of my heart. And they were able to lean in a lot of their personal experiences. And like, I always appreciate when they shared those stories with us. It's very unique, right? You don't have to always win the Olympiad, or you don't always have to be the first prize winner for like AMC math or whatsoever, but just really showing what you care the most. I feel like that usually shines the most and just jumps off of the page for me, that I, you know, automatically remember the unique story they're bringing.
Yeah, definitely.
What do they worry the most based on your experience?
Definitely, it's just about whether if their GPA is high enough, or if their IELTS score is high enough. It's just, I feel like nowadays there's so many things they're, you know, labeling us. Mm-hmm. And I think as an 18-year-old going through this process, it could take a toll on you, because you're just thinking where you can get in, and that rejection letter that you might get can totally destroy you for quite a while.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are carrying with that that fear of losing or failure, but I would say that life will always direct you in another way, right? Like rejections is redirection. So a lot of people told me that. Same thing to the students. If you don't always have to fit into certain boxes in order to feel belonged, you will eventually find a place that's best for you. And then you just do whatever you can to max out the experience, do what's best for you. And that's enough. Yeah. That will be enough.
That should be a quote. Yeah, so our last question is a really interesting question. What make you interested in joining our Global Expressions podcast?
I love to talk. I guess, like, talk with people who are willing to share thoughts and learn new things. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's through conversations that we get to be inspired. One thing that I learned from my educational course back in college was the power of storytelling. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've learned so many things just by listening to what other people have been through, sort of like stepping on the shoulders of giants. Mm-hmm. So I'm a full believer of that. And I feel like creating more conversations will definitely help the community to grow at large. And yeah, you know, maybe second of all, I just want to meet you guys and see who you are. Because, one of my goals is to definitely be more connected with our international students. Yeah. But I was definitely very busy just getting to know Lafayette. But I'm so glad that we finally get to talk and, you know, get to bond. And hopefully, you know, that leads to another project or another thing. Hopefully I can help out with international orientation or whatever. Yay. So yeah, I just always wanted to volunteer if I can. So I also feel that Lafayette is, you know, more family to me.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure that we have you today. And like, as you come in and we talked about, it's kind of like interesting that we have all women and all Asian today.
Yes.
So, yes. And we are really hoping that we can welcome you back to talk about other other topics and also other stuff outside of educational. Maybe we can talk about something more interesting next time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we are really glad to have you today. And yay.
Thank you for having me. I would love to talk about, like, I don't know, like TV shows. Or
maybe we can do that next time. Yes. Yeah. And I think that's all for our episode today. So thank you very much for joining us again. And thank you for all who are listening. And hope you join us next time for the next episode of Global Expressions Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.